Dave and Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
America's in a baby crisis. We're not having enough babies to replace the population. Jay Evenson in with us in-house from the Deseret News. He's the opinion editor at the Deseret News. And one of his latest opinions entitled, Beware of a Falling Population. And he's going to tell us why this is scary.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Jay. There's a couple different elements to this. There's both a social element to it, and then there's like a practical economic element to this argument about having enough kids and or having kids in general. And let's talk a little bit about that. What are some of the trends? Why are people not having as many kids?
Really good question, and there's not a lot of really good answers to that, because it used to follow the economy. When times were good, people would have more children. When times were bad, the birth rate would drop. You can argue that with almost every indicator, except maybe inflation, we're in some pretty good economic times. We've come out of the pandemic, and yet our birth rate is not following that trend anymore.
You write in your editorial piece, as the Deseret News reported last week, so you're using your own newspaper's stats.
Sure.
Of course you are. The nation's fertility rate reached an all-time low in 2023.
1.62 children. Yes, and I believe that was a CDC report. And experts consider 2.1 per woman in baby-carrying age, whatever that is, 18 to or 15 to, I don't know what the outer limit is necessary for replacement rate. And we've been below replacement for a while now. And it's not just an American thing. This is happening worldwide in every industrialized nation and in some that are used to be considered third world countries.
I think some of it, and Debbie, I've got a little nugget of of audio that I want to play. I think a lot of this is social and cultural. To your point, typically in the history, when times are good, we have more kids. When we don't, that's a very economical way to look at it. But I think socially and culturally, we're looking at kids in a different way. And there's a new term out there. I don't know if you've ever heard of this term, folks, but have you ever heard of a dink? D-I-N-K. If you're on social media, you can type in dink. It stands for double income, no kids. So it's people that are professing, you know, to have cracked the code, have solved the problems of life and how to have fun. And this was a little video that from one of the dinks.
Why is nobody talking about being dinks? Well, I'm freshly married and I'm going to talk about it. Here's our life as dinks in our early 30s. No shocker here, folks. Today we went to Costco. We don't have kids to feed, but we got lots of money to spend on goodies. Brian always checks out while I get a box and then I sit here and look cute. Here's the haul, and our total was $252. The register game at Costco never gets old. You cannot tell me that grocery shopping and a fresh slice of Costco pizza isn't a good date night.
So, all right, so you get to have a date night at Costco. That's the big win. I think we've done a terrible job of letting young kids know, newly married folks, that kids are awesome, that they are better than a slice of pizza at Costco for a date night. And I think we focus very easily on how expensive kids are, how hard it's going to be for them, what the future prospects look like. And it feels to me like we are consciously making a decision not to have kids.
Jay, are there other countries that are coming up with some solutions to this? Because I don't think we've come up to any, to speaking to Dave's point, I don't think we've come up with any really great solutions to incentivize these dinks to have kids.
Other countries are coming up with ideas that they turn out not to be solutions. I think Denmark did some public service announcements and some commercials where they had a grandmother trying to undress her daughter and boyfriend and trying to get them to
That's
be more
weird.
Intimate, which was really weird.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
Of course not.
Russia has something called the Day of Conception. And this is like a national holiday. It's September 12th, and everyone gets off work, and the idea is that they're supposed to conceive. And those who have a baby the closest to June 12th of the next year get all kinds of prizes. You can get an SUV, anything down to like a toaster.
Well, I mean, okay, you didn't tell me that until just now, if there's an SUV in the works.
Well, that hasn't worked either.
Of course not.
But China and Russia really understand that they're in a crisis. And other countries, Japan, for example, there are small towns in Japan that are just drying up because people aren't having kids. We don't see that here yet. But, you know, there are all kinds of problems that will happen if we continue this trend. You'll have homes that sit vacant. Home prices will drop. Businesses will struggle, and then they'll close. Think of how hard it is already to think about retiring the national debt and how much harder that will be if we have fewer taxpayers. How do we keep Social Security going when there's no one there to provide for this huge amount of retirees in the country and so few workers? How do we keep the military going? There's a whole bunch of questions that come out of this.
So in order to make this happen, as you both know, women have to be on board 100%. And having been through more than a couple of pregnancies, it's tough on our bodies. Tough on our bodies. And I would just say in my experience as a mom, I did the majority of you wake up in the middle of the night and they're not standing next to dad, you know, they're like, mommy, I don't feel well, you know, so and that's, I loved that. But I was also wandering through life completely exhausted for about 15 years, completely exhausted.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we just can't overcome the fact that it's women who have to be the ones to get pregnant and give birth. And it is, I did not have a good go of it health-wise. I mean, the baby, Lizzie was having troubles in there and I was having all kinds of troubles. And I'm not trying to, I know there are a ton of my friends who romanticized this thing for me that pregnancy is so perfect and you're just going to love it. And I mean, I don't know, I gained 100 pounds and had high blood pressure, you know?
Right.
And it's a struggle. I'm not trying to
rain
on your parade over there.
No, it's not my parade, but this is why it's such a difficult needle to thread, because there are those considerations. There are social considerations. We've come a long way in terms of what we expect or what women can accomplish in their place in the workforce. And we've come away from that 1950s ideal of the nuclear family and the mother stays home. And yet we're facing this crisis, and we need to be aware of it, and we need to try to, I don't know what you do. Incentives don't seem to work. There seems to be a cultural shift that we need to somehow change, and change in a very sensitive way.
I think the way we talk about kids is really damaging. I think we talk about the stress and the burden that they are, and it's hard to say, well, you haven't experienced it. How do you describe holding your brand new baby or, you know, cuddling them or watching them get the game-winning hit or score well on a test or develop into that person? It's hard to properly express that if you've never experienced it. And the rewards of being a parent and having children, even though they can be stressful sometimes, far outweigh any financial security that I could have. It's worth it. And I don't think we've done a great job selling kids to the younger generation.
Well, as the oldest person in this room,
I doubt that.
I think that's true. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that the part we usually think about, you know, the screaming infant and that type of thing, is such a short period of time. There is nothing more rewarding than having adult children who share your likes and interests. When there's a big major news story breaking, I can count the seconds. My kids will start texting me and we'll start sharing information on it.
That's good.
It's very rewarding and very fulfilling.
That's awesome, Jay. Well, we always appreciate your perspective. And Dave and I are going to continue to duke it out in a moment. Because I have three reasons why I think we're in this baby crisis. I've just cited one of them, and I've got three more on top of that. But Jay Evenson, always great stuff in the Deseret News. Read Jay's opinions at Deseret.com. The latest one, Beware of a Falling Population.
Dave and Dejanovic.
We just talked to Jay Evenson about the baby crisis in America. We know the same thing is happening here in Utah. We're just not having as many babies. And I've got three reasons why I think this is happening. And so Dave and I are going to, we'll duke it out. Why do you think this is happening? Let's start with you.
I think it's a greedy thing.
Agree thing.
I think we see how expensive kids are. We want to travel more. We want to go to nicer restaurants. Mm-hmm. We want a bigger house. We want nicer cars. And we're sacrificing having kids or more kids so that we can have more stuff.
What's it cost? About $11,000, $12,000 a year per child right now.
That's a chunk.
I just think it's not a greed thing. I think it's just an affordability thing. That's my first take. It's an affordability thing. We're not being greedy so we can travel. We're just trying to survive. So many families living paycheck to paycheck. It's overwhelming. Inflation's got us. But this has been happening for years where housing prices have been going through the roof. I mean, this isn't just a Biden problem. Housing prices have been going through the roof for quite some time. It's just simply unaffordable to buy a three-bedroom house these days, Dave. So I think that is problem number one. It's not that people want to travel more. It's that they can't even afford to make it to the next paycheck. They're counting pennies to get there. So they're thinking, we have to have a serious conversation about money before we start bringing another mouth to feed up to the table.
One of my favorite games to play is I drive, and I always have driven very, we'll call it affordable vehicles, very affordable vehicles. I cannot tell you how many 22-year-olds drive a car that is far nicer than mine, far nicer than mine. And I think, what in the world? How can you afford that thing? It's because they value that. They want to have the nice car. And if you look in everybody's lives, we spend a lot of money on subscriptions and gym memberships and going out to eat and having nice cars. I'm not saying that we're not pinching pennies, but we live a pretty good life, and that comes at a sacrifice. You can't have kids if you're spending it all on Hulu subscriptions.
This is not one of my three, but I want to backtrack to when we were talking to Jay Evenson of the Deseret News, who wrote an opinion about this, and I said, it's hard on women's bodies.
For sure.
We aren't baby-making machines, but I think we've been perceived as baby-making machines for decades. And it's hard on women's bodies. My first pregnancy was not a positive experience. While some of my friends made it look very amazing and romantic, and they stayed super skinny, and their baby bump was hardly noticeable, old Debbie over here was packing on 100 pounds, had high blood pressure. Had problems with the placenta where that was starting to die off. And I was going in for ultrasounds every single day just to make sure Lizzie was staying healthy. And then the delivery was, yes, I'm a hero, 14 hours. 14 hours of labor, 12 of that, actually maybe 13 of that, without an epidural. Without an epidural. And to make matters even more painful, I was induced. And if you've ever been induced, you know that those labor pains
turbocharge it
can send you through the roof, where you're using all of the breathing techniques that you've saved up for the last 9 months. So that was my take when we were talking to Jay. I think there's just been this perception is we want to talk about all the great things, but we want to also ignore how difficult this is on women.
Sure.
And I recently saw, not to get super dark, but a Facebook post from one of my Facebook friends. His daughter-in-law passed away during childbirth. Passed away, young, healthy, had other children, and then is on the delivery table, and they just could not save her. They could not save her.
And 150 years ago, Debbie, that was so common. Like, we would lose women all the time. Fortunately, modern technology, medicine has made that far more the aberration. But yeah, that used to be standard. Women would die in childbirth all the time.
Social media has connected us. I'm not blaming the social media for this. We blame social media for everything else. But we see how exhausted, we talk about now how exhausted we are as parents. So that's my second take, is that it takes a physical toll on us, not just during childbirth, and certainly for the dad too, when you're bringing a baby home. We got to take care of that. I'm sorry. Is that me? There we go. It might be me. Sorry, guys. It's physical toll. You stop going to the gym. You
yep.
pointed this out. There's no alone time. You're never going to use the bathroom for years without somebody knocking at the door, which I understand. You know, I used to keep the bathroom door open. That's how it is. Of course, I didn't, you know, There's no free time. Date nights are kind of pushed to the side. Can't afford a babysitter. So there's that. So I think it takes that physical toll, and you're sleepwalking through a good chunk of that.
Yeah, I think it's very easy, because it is so hard, to just remember that. Because everything you just listed, Debbie, I'm like, check, check. Yep, mm-hmm. I remember that. But do you also remember sitting in your living room and having the four-year-old just run around, and they are the entertainment? They're just so funny. They're running around. They're playing games. They're being silly, and they're just so entertaining. But because it was so difficult physically, financially, you know, waking up in the middle of the night with sick kids, I think it outweighs and unfairly weighs the experience. Mm-hmm. Those, I can probably count at, you know, a dozen times where I actually got awakened to help clean up a sick kid.
A dozen
it's
times?
Not that, it's not that much. over 17, 18 years?
Okay, Dad, a dozen times? Mine's like 1,200 times. When they were sick
with feeding your kids.
When they were sick with a sore throat, they didn't go to Dad's side of the bed. It was tap, 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 Mommy, Mommy. Oh, I was always awake with my kids. That was what I was feeding them. It's just there's a rotation of three, and they rotate through the sore throat and the strep throat and all the other stuff a dozen times.
I'm just saying those miserable nights, like the ones where you're just dragging the next day. I just haven't had that many.
Oh, good. That's a difference maybe between moms and dads. I don't know. That was not my experience at all. So. You know, the final thing is we do a really good job about talking about really cute, bouncy babies. We do a horrible job warning about the train wreck teen years. Now, your little kids are just so amazing, right? I mean, none of your teenagers are doing anything that you're aware of to cause problems and potentially, you know, cost mom and dad a ton of money. But, you know, we don't talk about, you know, the driving years and the fact that you never, ever, ever stop worrying about your child, even when they're an adult. That never goes away, nor should it. But these are all of the reasons why I think as we, the world becomes a smaller and smaller place, Dave, with social media, that we're starting to share this, that people of the younger generation are starting to recognize this is an all-in commitment, and am I ready to make this commitment? For, you know, with dogs, it's like a 13 or 15-year commitment. With kiddos, that is a lifetime commitment. But you say it's worth it.
Absolutely. I'm all in on kids. I love kids. I know you love your kids, too. I mean, I'm not saying that at all. Of course you do.
That's not my point at all.
But No. But I think we do a terrible job of pointing out all the struggles and the difficulties that kids are and can be. And to me, it's a drop in the bucket. It's not all sunshine and rainbows, but the joy and the love that we have, it's not even close. You can't compare it to anything else. There's not a trip you will take in the world that compares to having kids.
Yeah. Well, I'm still stuck on the 12 times I woke up in the middle of the night in 17 years. I'm like, what? That's incredible. I'm going to be a dad when I grow up. Okay, straight ahead. If you're thinking about taking a trip this summer, and you know you got some luggage to load on an airline, Matt Gephardt, straight ahead, breaking down vacation inflation buster ideas. That's next.